Now, let's focus our attention on the Word of God. Genesis chapter 39, verse 1. Would you stand with me as we read from God's Word? Now, Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was successful, or he was a successful man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight, and he served him. Then he made him overseer of his house, and all that he had he put under his authority. So it was, from the time that he had made him overseer of his house and all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field. Thus he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. And he did not know what he had except for the bread which he ate. Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. And it came to pass, after these things, that his master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph. And she said, "Lie with me." But he refused and said to his master's wife, "Look, my master does not know what is with me in the house. He's committed all that he has to my hand. There is no one greater in this house than I. Nor has he kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" So it was, as she spoke to Joseph day by day, that he did not heed her to lie with her or to be with her. But it happened about this time, when Joseph went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the house were inside, that she caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." But he left his garment in her hand and fled and ran outside. And so it was, when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and fled outside, that she called to the men of the house and spoke to them, saying, "See, he has brought in to us a Hebrew to mock us. He came into me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. And it happened, when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried out, that he left his garment with me and fled and went outside." So she kept his garment with her until his master came home. Then she spoke to him the words like these, saying, "The Hebrew servant whom you brought to us came into me to mock me. So it happened, as I lifted my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled outside." So it was, when his master heard these words which his wife spoke to him, saying, "Your servant did come to me after this manner," that his anger was aroused. Then Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were confined. And he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Again, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we bow before you today, asking for your guidance, asking for your direction in life, asking for your presence in this service. Lord, you know our needs. You know what the future holds. And you know what we need to be prepared to serve you in the days that lie ahead. Lord, equip us so that from your word we may glean treasure that we can apply to our lives to be made better servants for you. So that no matter the situation of life, Lord, we bring honor and glory to you. Lord, we love you and we thank you for all things. But most of all, thank you for the sacrifice that was made for our sins upon the cross of Calvary. And thank you that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Today we're going to be talking about the testimony. We all have a testimony, right? You understand what I mean when I say testimony? It's who your life is a reflection of. As children of God, our life is supposed to be a reflection of the God that we say we serve and believe in. And it takes time to build a reputation. Okay? It doesn't happen overnight. And that's what's going on in the life of Joseph as we pick up in this that we just read. His reputation or his testimony of the God he serves is growing in his life. Joseph had a proven testimony. And that testimony said that the Lord was with him. Everything about his life said God was with him. And I want to give you the background, of course. Last week we studied how his brothers hated him because his father favored him. And they hated him so much so that they took him, threw him in a pit, found some Ishmaelite traders, sold him into slavery to the Ishmaelite traders who have now taken him off to Egypt. I want to tell you, Joseph's life up to this point has been a downer. I'll be honest with you, it stinks. Okay? He's not been treated right. He's not been treated well. I mean, his life is just a downer. Every time he turns around, and it's to no fault of his own. But the thing that amazes me, even though every time he looks up, something bad happens, Joseph doesn't spend his time with a long face. He doesn't spend his time with a bitter attitude or a vengeful spirit. He's not plotting his revenge. He's not looking to lay the blame and say, well, it's not my fault. Look what my brothers have done to me. My dad didn't take care of me. And you know, there's none of that. Let me ask you a question. Do you ever blame? Do you ever blame others for where you are? And we're real good at it. As a matter of fact, in our society today, everything in society says it's not my fault. Well, I want to tell you what. It can be your fault or it cannot be your fault. It really doesn't matter. You are where you are. And you decide where you're going from here. I'm not suggesting that there haven't been people who haven't been done wrong. There has. We've all been done wrong. If you've been treated poorly, would you say amen? You know, it really doesn't matter, does it? We've all been treated poorly at some point in our life. It doesn't matter. What matters is where we go from here. And Joseph, you just see the life of Joseph, how he's determined that if it's in God's plan that he's to be a slave at this point in his life, he's going to be the best slave in all of Egypt. Talk about a guy, an attitude. He didn't spend that time whining, complaining. He just says, what can I do from here? And he becomes the greatest servant that Potiphar has not only ever had. He becomes the greatest servant that Potiphar has ever seen. And I believe it's because Joseph knew a secret from the New Testament. We get that all things work together for good to those that love the Lord, who are called according to his purpose. Joseph knew that. So everything about Joseph's life reflected the God that he served. And I love how we start in this chapter. And it's funny, we start this chapter with the phrase, and God was with Joseph. And we also end with the phrase, God was with Joseph. Meaning God was at the side of, or God was there to help. And everything that Joseph was going through. And therefore, because of Joseph's attitude, everything about his life still reflected the glory of his great God. That's what a testimony is. Let me ask you a question. As I said before, it really doesn't matter where you are. You may be in the pit right now. You may be going through some extremely difficult times. But if you are a child of God, does your life reflect or testify to the greatness of the God you say you serve? That's what made Joseph who he was. The Lord was with Joseph. And guess what? The master took notice. I want to tell you what, when you testify, when your life is a testimony of who Jesus is, people take notice. That's what happened in the life of Joseph. Potiphar took notice, and everything, it says God was with him. Everything that Joseph did was successful. Everything that Joseph touched prospered. Therefore, Potiphar realized, and he came to the conclusion, oh, this guy's like gold. Let me just put everything in his hands. Let me put everything in his control, and I'm going to be blessed too. And that's how it was. Potiphar knew, though, somewhere along the way, it wasn't just because Joseph was so sharp and such a business-minded individual that he did well. He knew, and I think it's because at some point, Joseph, or it may have been on a daily basis, Joseph had shared. He was who he was because of the God that he served. Now, nowhere does it say that Potiphar became a believer, but Potiphar was a believer in Joseph, who was a believer. See, that's the way it's supposed to work. That's how, you know, no matter where we are, have you ever known those people that no matter where they were able to smile and say, glory to God? Don't you love them? Don't you? I mean, really? Don't you love those people that you know are hurting and can still say, all things work together for good to those that love the Lord? Don't you love those people that even though you know their heart is breaking, they look at you with a smile and say, God is good? Everything about their life testified. Joseph, everything about him testified of his great God. And was a reflection, hey, this guy's special because of his great God. That's my challenge to you. But I want you to understand, when you become this living testimony, as the Apostle Paul put it in Romans chapter 12, how that we're to present our bodies a living sacrifice. When you become that living sacrifice that says Jesus Christ in every part of your life, guess what's going to happen? Everything good's going to happen. Life's going to turn out well. And it's going to be the fairy tale ending. You'll ride off in the sunset and live happily ever after. You believe that? No. Not for a minute. You see, when your life truly declares who Jesus Christ is, you become a target. Joseph is that potential target. Everything about him said the greatness of God. And so Satan says, okay, we got to put a stop to this. He's tempted to fall. And the temptation came from Potiphar's wife. It says Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. You know, there are a few people who are cursed with good looks. If you're cursed with good looks, raise your hand. No, don't. You were following me, weren't you? We'll keep that to yourself, right? Joseph was a man who was cursed with good looks. I mean, he was handsome. He was well built. Literally is what that means. And so after a time, Potiphar's wife starts looking. What a handsome young man that Joseph is. And after time, it says, she cast longing eyes upon him, and then she began to proposition him. Lie with me, Joseph. Lie with me. See, this is where it gets serious. Because this is where Joseph's testimony is in grave danger. You know, everything you are, everything you believe is on the line here, Joseph. The decision you make at this point, Joseph, will reflect, are you genuine about what you say you believe? Boy, Joseph, he's in a bind here. This is his boss's wife. This is a no-win situation. What are you going to do? I can just imagine her saying, oh, Joseph, we won't tell anybody. Nobody's going to know. I can just imagine Joseph saying, look at all the good I've done for Potiphar. He owes me. But you know, Oh, Joseph, he knew better than to swallow a lie. Let me just stop right here for a minute. Because it's in stuff like this that so many people take the fall today. As a matter of fact, I learned of a pastor last week whose ministry was just crumbled because of an affair. I know the world today says it doesn't matter. Nobody's going to find out. You deserve to be happy. But I'm going to tell you, it's a lie. Okay? What Satan is trying to do is he's trying to crucify who you are as a child of God. And if you give in to that adulteress, you understand that they're going to point a finger at you and say, look, they're not really real. Young ladies, let me tell you, when that boy looks at you and says, if you love me, you will, you look that rascal in the eye and say, well, then I guess I don't love you. Men, when the girl says, no one will find out, you look them in the eye and say, yeah, but I would know. And my God would know. You see, as we look at what Joseph said when he said, no. No, I won't do it. And as a matter of fact, the way he put it, he said, my master has trusted me. My God has trusted me. How can I do this great wickedness against my God? You just got to want to, you know, it's at this point that he's taking his stand. He said, no, I will not. And you want to go, yes, there's a man who took his stand. But it wasn't over. Oh, Joseph, he said no. But that old Potiphar's woman, she didn't quit. Every day, day in, day out, it's the same thing. Come on, Joseph. Come on, Joseph. Lie with me. No. Lie with me. No. Lie with me. No. No. Until one day. One day, he got backed into a corner. But before we go there, I want to just mention to you, you know what? Here's what we got to learn. We've got to learn how to say no. Kids, if you're under the age of 20 years old, would you please stand? And I'm not doing this to embarrass you. I'm really not. Would you repeat after me? No. No, that's not how I want you to say it. Would you repeat after me? No. That's pretty good. Let's try it again. Would you repeat after me? No. 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 You see? You can be seated. All right? What I'm trying to do, I'm trying to get you to the point where you realize you can say no. You do not have to follow after the crowd. You do not have to be wishy-washy and well, maybe and us. No. Just stand up, bow up and say, no, I don't do that. Amen? Say it with vigor. Say it with force. Just say no. Now, if you're above 20, would you please stand? You see, here's what we don't realize. Yeah, you 20-year-olds, stay seated. Okay? Here's what you don't realize. We said, oh, our kids need to do this, and our kids need to be strong, and our kids. It's not just our kids. Families are falling apart every day because somebody's unfaithful. Families are falling apart every day because somebody gets hooked on drugs. Families are falling apart every day because someone is hooked on alcohol. Here's a news flash. We need to say no also. Not just our kids, us. So repeat after me, no.
No,
no. There you go. I don't do that. I'm a child of the living God. My testimony is important. You may be seated. You see, that's what made Joseph who he was. No. 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 He knew that word. Yep, he was tempted to fall. But the man was tried and true. He was willing to say no. But that brings us to the price. You see, if you're going to have a testimony, if you're going to say no, don't expect to ride off into the sunset and live happily ever after. Don't expect it to be easy and Satan to fall at your feet, because it just doesn't work that way. One day, this wicked woman grabbed Joseph. And that's exactly how it went. You know, it's written in the Hebrew very forcefully. She grabbed him. And she's demanding, okay, you're going to do this. And she's got such a grasp on that young man, he's backed into a corner. He only has one option. He comes out of his coat and he leaves it in her hand. Or whatever piece of clothing she had a hold of. I mean, it's one of those, she just, you know, he just comes out, his clothes are left in her hands, and he runs. You got to admire that. When you can't stand, run. Okay? See, there's always a way of escape. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. And I don't know how many times I've heard people say, it's not my fault, I didn't have a choice. Yeah, you do. You do have a choice. 1 Corinthians 10, 13. No temptation. Excuse me. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Folks, if the only option's running, you run. If that's all that's left, get out of Dodge. Okay? Get out. Get out. So he... Excuse me. It says, Joseph loosed himself from his clothing. She's holding it in her hands. She becomes furious at Joseph because he's rejected her, and she tells her husband, look, Joseph came into me, that Hebrew that you brought into our house. He came into me. And he attempted to have his way with me. But I want you to know, Potiphar, you can just say, but I want you to know, Potiphar, I was strong. And when he tried that with me, I began to yell. I began to yell loud, help, help, help. That lying woman. And you know, and he buys it. Says he became very angry. And then now Joseph has got to pay the price of his testimony. Joseph is put into prison where it says the king's prisoners were confined. I wonder if it ever crossed Joseph's mind, it does no good to do what's right. Has that ever crossed your mind? Yeah, you know, I've heard it multiple times. It does no good to do what's right, Brother Doug. It always turns... Well, there's a reason. There's a price for being right. I'll just be honest with you. Being right usually costs. And it's seldom easy. But let me tell you something. I'd rather suffer hardship because of being right than I had transgressing my God. Okay? And that's what Joseph did. You see, throughout the Bible, and we still have the general feeling that as long as we do what's right, it's supposed to all work out and be good, and that's just not right. Jesus did right. What did they do to Him? They crucified Him. The apostles preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. What'd they do to them? They killed them. No. And you go out through the entire Bible. The apostle Paul, preached the gospel with all his heart and all his passion. And what'd they do to him? They put him in jail. But they couldn't shut him up. He wrote half the New Testament in jail, didn't he? Isn't that cool? You see, Satan can't stop God's people when they've got a testimony. And I want you, at this point, I want you to understand that it's not always easy to do what's right. People may point a finger and lie about you, but you stick with it. You stick with it. You see, Joseph, he begins to pay the price, but there's the third factor, the Lord. Here's the part I really want you to get, the Lord. You see, there were three people who knew the truth in this story. There was the lady who caused Joseph, or tried to cause Joseph, to abandon his God. The lady who lied to Potiphar, her husband, about Joseph. The lady that was mean, vindictive, and tried to take everything that was special in the life of Joseph. But I want you to know, Joseph didn't let her have it. Okay? She may have taken his position, but she did not take his relationship with his God. I want to tell you something. If you're a child of God, you've been sealed by the Spirit of God, and people can say whatever they want to say about you. They can do whatever they want to do against you, but they cannot take what God has given to you, salvation through Jesus Christ. They can, when you're at your darkest moment and there's no one else to talk to but God Himself, they cannot take your ability and your opportunity to just sit down, get on your knees and say, God, I need You. You see, they can't do anything about those important things. There may be lies, there may be liabilities, but you know, Joseph knew the truth. And he knew his word would never stand as a slave. So again, he winds up helpless in prison. But here's the good part. Third person that knew the truth was God. And here's the reward of a testimony. You see, I said we began with a statement, and the Lord was with Joseph. And we end with a statement, the Lord was with Joseph. In verse 21 it says, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy. You see, I want you to get the effect of that. When the Lord was with Joseph, now Joseph is back in prison. Guess who's in that prison cell with Joseph? Jesus. When Joseph doesn't have anybody to whine and complain to and talk to, guess who's there? And his ear and his eyes upon him? Jesus. Say, Brother Doug, Jesus hadn't happened till the New Testament. Oh, he's been back here. He's always been, okay? Yeah, he was there in that cell. But the really awesome part is in verse 21 when it says, it showed him mercy. That word mercy is a Hebrew word. Very interesting. It means loyal love or faithfulness. So when it says God was with Joseph and showed him loyal love, when everybody else had forsaken him, Potiphar, who should have known him by now and known, I wouldn't do this, Potiphar's forsaken him. The woman who set out to destroy him, who has forsaken him, told a lie, and now, you know, let's face it, it doesn't have to be true. Somebody has to say something, and it can wound your testimony. I realize that, right? The brothers who had sold him out into slavery. Everybody has rained on this boy's parade. But as he's in prison, where the king's prisoners are kept, the one thing he noticed was that God was with him, and God showed him a loyalty in love and presence. You see, that's the God that we serve. Here's the lesson I want you to get. Yes, we all need a testimony. Yes, we all need to take a stand. Yes, there's a price to be paid. But I really want you to get this part. God will never leave you nor forsake you. Never, never, never. So here's the challenge. Take your stand. Take your stand as a child of God. Let the world know who you belong to. And that starts with, number one, being saved. Are you a child of God? Listen, I'm talking about a personal relationship. I didn't ask you if you went to church, didn't ask if you were baptized, didn't ask you if you're a pretty good person, because the bottom line is you're not good enough to get to heaven. Okay? The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That includes all of us. All right? That's from the pulpit to the pew. That's me to you. Okay? Are you a child of God? Have you come to the point where you committed your life to Jesus Christ, the Savior of mankind? If not, you need to be saved. Maybe you are saved and you've never been public following the Lord in scriptural baptism. See, that's what baptism is. It's your public identification. If you hadn't done that, you need to follow the Lord in scriptural baptism. Maybe you're here today and you're one of those people who you're facing the firing squad. You've been tempted at work, and there's this person that's always hanging around and just making little snide comments, and you know that they have inappropriate intentions. Make up your mind right here, right now, today, to use that word. No. No. Maybe you need to be at this altar, rebuilding your relationship with God, rededicating your life. Maybe the Lord is leading you to become a member of Victory. I'm just asking you to listen to the Holy Spirit of God as He leads and do what He leads you to do. Will you do that today? Will you follow Jesus? Heavenly Father, we thank You for the day. We thank You, Lord, for this example of Joseph and just the tenacity, the toughness that he had to, even when it cost him, he stood for You and for his God. Lord, help us that when temptations come our way, help us, Lord, to build a testimony in You so that everything, Lord, we do will reflect Your greatness. And now, Lord, I pray Your will be done in this invitation. You know the ones who need to move. You know the ones who need to respond to You. Convict, lead, and make Your leading clear. In Jesus' name.